So yeah, let me quickly start off with something, Glenn. I just want to tell our listeners. Now, this is a pre-recorded stuff. Now, I sent Glenn a little message that said, "Hi, matey, I'm off next Tuesday and Wednesday. Are you able to record one of those days? Please let me know." And Glenn put, "Tuesday's my best day. Andy, love you. Kiss, 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 kiss."
Did I do that?
Yes, you did.
And it's a habit of texting my girlfriend. I really look back at that. Did I do that?
You did indeed, mate.
I get bad. I bet you're like, I'm not that way. Yeah, I did. Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 13. I'm your host, Andy, and joining me once again is the one, the only...
Glenn83100. Hello, everybody.
How are you, buddy? You all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Right, so before we tell everyone what we've been up to, we'll quickly tell everyone what the show plan is for today. We're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to, what we've been playing, retro gaming news, the winner of the Sega Mega Drive handheld by Blaze, the Andy vs. Glenn music challenge, plus our top 5 Codemaster games.
Oh, I'm looking forward to telling all about my Codemaster games.
Right then, matey. So let's start off where we always start off with. What have you been up to then, Glenn?
What I've been up to is I've actually been making another game, in fact.
Another one? Wow.
And it's going to be Bubble Bobble.
Oh, wow.
And you don't have to download it anymore now. It just works on your browser.
Wow, okay. How did you manage to do that?
It's a HTML5 program from the games maker.
Oh, okay.
And what you do is you design your game and you can run it in HTML5.
Yeah.
And it just runs in your browser, so there's no downloading files and unzipping files. You just run it from the browser. So far, I've got a demo made, and it looks pretty good at the moment. Still needs work doing to it, though.
So what's the difference between your Bubble Bobble and the original Bubble Bobble?
This one's going to be like a platform Bubble Bobble game. It's going to be more like a Mario style of Bubble Bobble. It's not going to be like one level, two level, three level. It's all on the same screen. It's going to be like a platform game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the main difference. At the moment, I've just done the baddies, the platforms, and the animation of Bubble Bobble the Dragon.
So it plays exactly like Bubble Bobble, jump, popping the bubbles, and not like Super Mario where you jump on the heads.
Yeah, but it's not like a whole level in one screen. It's like platform game. You get to the end of the level, and there's an umbrella. You jump on the umbrella, and the umbrella takes you away right at the end.
You know what? That sounds really, really good, Glenn. That sounds absolutely fantastic. How do you find the time to actually make these games?
I just, bits of time here and there. I juggle things around, you know. As well, my girlfriend was at the caravan the previous weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't at the caravan, so I had some time to do it then.
Right. All right, Macy, let me quickly tell you a little bit about what I've been up to. I have been up to doing the flooring. I've got my last 3 or 4 little bits of flooring to put on. And I tell you what, Glenn, I spent about 6 or 7 hours just trying to get them to fit.
Oh, that must be a nightmare for you, Andy, doing all that DIY.
It is, because I've got no DIY skills whatsoever. I'm just absolutely terrible. I'm meant to be doing this, meant to have finished it today, so kind of hoping to wrap up the podcast before my wife gets here. But apart from that, Glenn, I haven't really been up to a lot, mate. Not a lot whatsoever, mate.
So have you been playing any games recently?
Let me tell you what I've been playing. I've been playing a Castlevania, the New Generation on the Sega Mega Drive, and I finished that.
Oh, have you played that? Oh.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's so amazing about this game, Glenn. The game's made by Konami, and now the original Castlevania on the Super Nintendo, which was Castlevania 4, featured some amazing Mode 7 graphics, things that rotated. Now,
I remember you mentioning that before.
Yeah, now this is the amazing thing about the Mega Drive version, because the Mega Drive version also uses Mode 7 type trickery. And I'm thinking, how on earth do they manage that, Glenn, on a Mega Drive?
It's the programming skills. If you're a good programmer, you could pull off some really amazing stuff. But they even did Mode 7 on Amiga, and Amiga has no Mode 7.
Ah, so it's all down to the way the programming graphics.
It's the way they've done it.
It's a great game. The graphics are nice. I enjoyed it, and I finished it. I admit it, I did use like a save slot, so every time I died, I'd continue.
Cheap.
I know, but I'm trying to finish a game a week, you know, part of my game a week challenge. I've fallen behind on that because I've had so much to do. But the Mega Drive version of Castlevania, Glenn, as good as it is and as amazing the visuals are and, you know, all the little tricks, for some reason, it's not as memorable as the Super Nintendo version, like the graphics, the music.
Is there a difference between the SNES and Mega Drive version for graphics?
It's a completely different game, Glenn.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a completely different game. You know, the Mega Drive version's two players, where the Super Nintendo's one. It's different characters, different locations. But the Super Nintendo, just if you think back, the levels are, I don't know, they're more memorable. They look like a little bit more special. And I don't know, I prefer the Super Nintendo version.
More time spent on it.
Yeah, I've done a 16-bit Wars on that I think last year. I might upload it to the site again so everyone can have a look. So what about yourself, Glenn? What have you been playing?
Well, my girlfriend was away at the caravan for the weekend. And the thing is about going to the caravan is she's there for the week.
Right.
And when I go to the... basically, she's there for 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. And it costs a lot of money in petrol going there and back. Because it's about an hour and almost 2 hours drive.
Right.
So I said to her, well, you can stay over the caravan with your mum down the weekend. I stay over back in Leeds. So I had this spare time on my hands. So what I did, I went around to my friend Colin's house and we had a retro gaming night.
Ah, so what did you and Hoggy get up to then, mates? What games did you play?
Well, we played Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
Right.
They were on original Mega Drive. But one thing I noticed that it's slower than it is on the emulator.
It depends, Glenn. I think because, don't forget, it's the PAL version. And a lot of the time, because of the borders and the conversions, the PAL versions were a lot slower than the Japanese versions.
Oh, right. And also, we played Super Mario World. And I tell you something, when I was playing that, I was absolutely in my world element there. There was me and Phil, and me and Phil owned a Super Nintendo. We both say Mario's better. But
yeah.
Colin and JP, the other friend, going, no, Sonic's better. So we had a Mario and Sonic war.
And who won in the end? You know, what did everyone choose in the end?
Well, actually, 3 people choose Super Mario World and 1 choose Sonic. So Super Mario World won.
Yeah, I think it's a better game. Don't get me wrong, Sonic's a good game, but we've discussed this before in the past. It's just very straightforward, whereas Mario World's got a lot more depth.
And also, I play Streets of Rage.
Ah, which one? 1, 2, or 3?
I think it was the first one.
Ah, okay.
And... one thing I found strange about that game, actually, is you can actually hit player 2 and throw player 2 around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not careful, you hit the good guys.
Yeah, that's right.
But one thing I always do, when I get to a baddie I cannot do, I always use the special button and this police car comes along and fires these bombs all over the baddies.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I don't get, though. There was one level when they're on a boat.
Okay,
and you press the special button, and then this car comes along. Well, what's a car doing on that boat?
Oh, yeah. that car just shows up out of nowhere. It's a little bit silly, but I'll tell you what. As good as Streets of Rage 1 is, it's not as good as the second one.
Hello everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of retro gaming news, Glenn. So, you've got 2 bits of retro gaming news, and I've got 2 site-related bits of news. So, I'll let you go with your retro gaming news first then, matey.
Well, last week, Jack Tramiel, who was the founder of Commodore, has died, age 83.
Oh, no.
Jack Tramiel, if you people don't know, he's the man responsible for the Commodore PET, the Commodore 64, and he left Commodore in 1984, and he bought Atari from Warner's Communications. So it contributed a lot to the computer and the gaming history. And funny enough, he started the company in 1954 as a calculator company. Well, not a portable typewriter company.
Wow.
And then later on, it called it Commodore Business Machines in 1962. So yeah, Jack Tramiel is known to make power without the price.
Mm-hmm.
He basically wants to make a computer cheaply to sell to the masses. Like computers, like back in the late 70s, early 80s, they cost thousands of pounds. They were really expensive. And we got Jack Tramiel and Clive Sinclair coming along, making cheaper computers. The vast majority of people like us can enjoy the world of computers. So that they've done a lot for the gaming community and the computer community as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, I don't think we'd be where we are if someone hadn't made the C64.
Yeah, the C64. Ooh, it's a shame that Jack Tramiel's died now.
Yeah, so rest in peace, Jack Tramiel. Why don't you tell us your next bit of gaming news, Glenn?
My next bit of gaming news is Dragon's Lair for the Xbox 360 Kinect.
Ah, okay. Tell us a little bit about this then, buddy.
So it's going to be the forthcoming Xbox Live Arcade port of the decades-old Laserdisc adventure Dragon's Lair. Comes complete with motion control, Microsoft has confirmed. So it looks like that you're going to use your hands and your feet to control the Dragon's Lair man, but I don't know how they're going to do that.
That's exactly what I was going to say to you, Glenn. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, because I don't know, it doesn't seem right, Glenn.
Because you have to press a button at a certain time when something's going to happen.
The only way I can think of it, Glenn, is perhaps it might be like the way the iPhone. On the iPhone, a little digit or, you know, like an up arrow or a down arrow appears or a fire button appears on the screen, which you have to tap. So I'm assuming that on the Kinect version, what is going to happen is you're going to get something that says raise your hand up or jump, and you have to do it in timing. But I don't know if it will work, Glenn, because
it doesn't always detect everything. That's the thing. So it's going to be bloody annoying because you have to be quick on that game. I played it before.
Exactly, mate. But I think it will look nice. It will look good. I just don't know if it'll work, unfortunately, Glenn. But you know what? I think I'll definitely get it when it does come out and give it a go.
Only time can tell.
Exactly, matey. So, right, let me quickly tell you a bit of my gaming news. Well, it's not gaming news. It's more site news, I'd say. Now, on the forum, I put up a little topic, Glenn, which was, what is the best scrolling beat-em-up ever? Now, there's a couple of choices. The choices were, Glenn, Target Renegade, Double Dragon, Final Fight, Streets of Rage 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Other. Now, did you vote, or Glenn, or did you not do it once again?
I'm guilty once again, but I tell you, if you give me that list, I probably... Oh, it'd be between Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Final Fight for me, because they're the games I've played more.
Right, so let me quickly tell you the percentages, Glenn. So, Target Renegade got 8%. Double Dragon got 33%.
Oh.
Final Fight got 8%. Streets of Rage 2 got 25%. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles got 8%. And Other got 17%. So, let me quickly tell you a little bit what people said, Glenn. Right, so Malk, he put, I voted Double Dragon the arcade because it's fantastic and only the Mega Drive port is close to it. If it was a 3D scrolling beat-em-up, it would have to be Die Hard Arcade. But yeah, so he voted for Double Dragon. Teal put Other. He always seems to vote for Other. Jack-O-Lantern said he went for Other as well because he says he likes games like Simpsons or Asterix and Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. Retro Shaman went for Final Fight. Darren went for Streets of Rage 2. He says it may have started as a clone of Final Fight, but the end result was much better. ZX Specstar, he put Streets of Rage 2 all the way. And guess what Swainy went for, Glenn?
Let me guess. Could it be Double Dragon?
Yeah, of course. Would he pick any other game?
Well, he lives in Double Dragon.
He does. I think he sleeps Double Dragon.
Lives in Midnight Resistance.
Yeah. So, yeah, the winner of that particular poll, Glenn, the best scrolling beat-em-up, was a Double Dragon. So, yep, that is officially the Retro Asylum's best scrolling beat-em-up is Double Dragon. Right, so let me quickly tell you, Glenn, about the winner of the Blaze Sega Mega Drive handheld.
Ooh, what games does it come with?
It comes with 18, Glenn. It comes with Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3, Streets of Rage 1 and 3. I think it comes with an Alex Kidd and loads of others. So, yeah, the way you could actually win this, Glenn, was I put a little thread on the forum, which was retro gaming jokes, and all you had to do, Glenn, was just put a joke in, and the funniest joke, basically, will win the Mega Drive handheld. Let's quickly read a few of them, and then between us, we'll pick the best one. Right.
Okay.
I'll read one first, then you read the next one. So, Jack-O-Lantern says, how do you get 50 Pikachus into a mini?
How do you get 50 Pikachus into a mini?
You Pokemon. Right, so...
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, you do the next one.
Why did the frog cross the road?
Why did the frog cross the road?
To get closer to the highest score.
Right, and who was that by then?
Potty Boy, that one.
Right, okay. We'll skip my joke because my joke wasn't very funny. Yeah, he put one here. He put, what do you call a circle that is a cannibal and eats its own shape and kind?
I don't know, Andy.
It's Pac-Man.
Oh.
Right, so I'll let you do the next one, which is by Adam.
Why did Dizzy cross the road?
Why did Dizzy cross the road?
To get away from the giant chicken.
Right.
Is that from, what's that? Fast food? It reminds me of stuff like that.
Actually, it does.
The cartoon scene.
Yeah. Right, so let's look at a few of the other ones. Let me look for one of my favourite ones. Okay, Asperger's Gamer 64. How did Link from Zelda win the basketball game?
How did Link win the basketball game?
He used a hook shot. I quite like that. I'm a bit of a Zelda fan. Go on, if you read the next one.
Oh, I got one here. What does the big grey SNES called strange black rectangular shirt thing speed down the road?
I have no idea, Glenn. Go on.
16-bit mega power. I would suppose that's the Mega Drive.
Right, okay. What do you call a penis that goes digging for coal?
Oh. Is that... Come on, that's a bit X-rated.
Yeah, what do you call a penis that goes digging for coal?
What do you call a whatever digging a hole?
Minor Willy. All right,
oh,
then.
Dear.
So you know what, Glenn? You have a little look through which one you think. And you know what? I think I'll let you decide on the ones.
Well, I think this one is probably a very creative one. And I find it amusing in a strange way. I don't know about you, Andy.
It's hard and tough to actually make a retro gaming joke.
It really is. But I think this was quite creative. And I think this one, the thought about it. Why did the frog cross the road to get a higher score? Because it's Frogger, isn't it? It crosses the road to stop being flattened by all these cars, then cross over all the logs to get a higher score.
But did you see the other one by Retro Shaman, which was, why did the frog cross the road? Because that's the point of the game.
Oh, right.
Another retro gaming joke, which was by Saber 16, was Pac-Man on the Atari 2600.
That was a rubbish game.
Exactly. Go on, Glenn. So I'll let you pick the winner.
Oh, put all the pressure on me.
Exactly. Go on. So you pick the winner, and then the winner will basically drop me a message, a PM, and give me your address details, and I will post the Blaze Mega Drive handheld to you. So go on, Glenn. I'll do a little drum roll. That's my little drum roll.
I'll go for Potty Boy's joke. Why did the frog cross the road to get a higher score?
Right, okay. So the winner of the Blaze Mega Drive handheld is Potty Boy. So well done, Potty Boy. So if you can send me your address via PM on the forum or via Twitter or via email, and then I'll send you this little prize for you. So well done, matey, and well done to everyone that entered the competition.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. We enjoy reading all your jerks.
Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
The part is, Glenn, the Andy versus Glenn music challenge.
I'll let you go first, Andy. What song have you got for the Co-Masters?
Right, so before we carry on with this, Glenn, I just want to quickly point out that in the last two Andy versus Glenn music challenge, I've won.
All right, now move along now.
Right. Now, the music that I'm going to pick is one of my favourite Codemasters games. It was ATV on the ZX Spectrum, and the music was done by David Whittaker, and it's just so damn catchy. And you know what? I'm not going to talk too much about the game now. I'll let the music speak for itself. So, guys, sit back and enjoy this music. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Now, Glenn, hopefully you've got something that can be better than that, then. What's your choice and why?
I always like this intro music to two certain games because they're actually used in two games. SCA Simulator and Super Tank for the Commodore 64. The menu music on the Commodore 64. And the music is by Steve Barrett.
Right, okay. So why did you pick this particular tune, Glenn? What is it about this track that you like so much?
It's because it has a really nice, army, catchy tune to it. Mm-hmm. And also another reason why I like it, because I know the game's loaded when I heard this tune.
Ah, okay. Now, you know what, guys? Sit back, listen to this tune, and don't forget, once it appears on the podcast, feel free to comment and let us know which track you prefer. Do you prefer my ATV simulator track, or do you prefer Glenn's track? So enjoy. The next section, Glenn, what is the topic of the week?
The topic of the week is Co-Masters.
Right, so matey, I hope you've done your research because I haven't. Can you tell us about Codemasters?
Codemasters was found in 1986 by Richard and David Darling, who worked previously for Mass Electronics.
Ah, okay, I did not know that. They were actually young guys, weren't they, Glenn? They were relatively young and they set up their own business.
Yeah, they're relatively young and set up their own business. And I remember the Oliver twins from your last podcast mentioned about them having a little, you know, like there's a computer game show and they had a little stall. Mm-hmm. And they came up to them and they said, well, we can offer you 10 grand for this game. And they both went, what?
But I tell you what, Codemasters, Glenn, they're still around now. I think the Darlings have actually left it now. But back then, Glenn, Codemasters were the king of budget gaming.
Oh, you know, certainly were.
I mean, whenever I went out there and I saw a Codemaster game, I knew it was guaranteed to be fantastic. And for $1.99 or $2.99, you knew you were going to get a game that was almost, or if not sometimes better, than a full price game.
When I was a kid, I must have had a lot of Ocean and Codemaster games. Mm-hmm. Most of the games were Codemaster games. Simply because, like you say, Andy, they weren't expensive, and I always trust Codemasters as a label to be pretty good quality games for mm-hmm. budget title. There was only one thing I never liked about Codemaster games when I was a kid.
Go on.
When you load up the tape, it never had any loading music, such as the Ocean games always had a loading music most of the time. So you are sitting down for 10 minutes looking at Coming Soon from Co-Masters on the loading screen.
Yeah. Well, us sort of like Spectrum owners, we never got any loading music, you know? We weren't as lucky as you C64 owners.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you why I like Codemasters, Glenn. I think it was just that it was smartly done. The games that they did appealed to the younger generations. You know, you had all your BMX simulators, which back then, BMX was just like out of this world. Everyone loved BMXing. It had skateboard simulators. There were so many simulators. And it was just the way it was all presented.
And don't forget, they also had Dizzy, Little Puff, and they also had Quick Snacks. And
the Spectrum version, were you referring to, Glenn?
No.
I didn't think so, matey. But yeah, so I absolutely love Codemasters. I think, to me, they were a lot better than Mastertronic. They were a lot better than Firebird. They were a lot better than most of the budget gaming things out there, because I don't think I ever went wrong. I don't think I actually ever bought a Codemaster game and thought, this was terrible.
Yeah, you're right, Andy. I can never ever remember a Codemaster game being absolutely terrible. I remember a lot of good memories with Codemaster.
Hmm. All right, so I'll tell you what we'll do, Glenn. We'll move on to our... Is there any more facts or information you want to give about Codemasters that we need to know, or should we just move on to our top five?
Well, the only thing else I know about Codemasters, they're still around today making games. There's not a lot of companies still around today making games. Ocean's gone, Acclaim's gone. A lot of these companies are gone now. Codemasters is still around. Them and Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm. All right then, matey. So what we're going to do now is... Glenn and I are going to compare our favourite top five Codemaster games. So, Glenn, do you want to go first?
All right. Well, my first game at number five is probably a game that not many people would have heard of, but I really enjoyed it as a kid. It's called MiG-29 Soviet Fighter.
Right, okay. No, I haven't actually heard of this one or played it.
It's like a clone of, what'd they call it? What's that game? Oh, that jet game on Sega, Afterburn. That's it. God, I've forgotten the name. Then it was the a clone of Afterburn on the Commodore 64, basically. And it's actually a really good game. So, what you do? You this little jet, and you have to go through a stage, mm-hmm. and you have to avoid tanks and people on the ground firing weapons and missiles at you, and you have to dodge all the missiles, and as you're doing that, you had to fire down these planes that come in towards you. It's a lot like Afterburn.
So basically it's Codemaster's version of Afterburn. Any idea who programmed that, Glenn?
No, I have no idea who programmed that, but it was a great game. It came out in 1989. Uh-huh, so it came out around about back end of the 80s, but it was such a great game. You go through one level. I tell you, if you don't know what you're doing, you get blasted down straight away, because it's really... If you manage to get past all the things, all the stages, what they do, they throw down a parachute full of weapons and lives and stuff, and you have to collect them. And then this jet comes along, refuels your jet, and then you go on to the next stage. I think I only got onto the third stage. It's that hard, the game.
All right then, matey. I'll tell you what. Let me move on to my number five game. Now, I wasn't too sure which one to go for. I'm going to go for Micro Machines 2 on the Sega Mega Drive.
Oh, Micro Machines. I love that game. That was fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing, Glenn. Now, Micro Machines originally started off on the 8-bit NES machines, where basically it was modeled on the little toy cars that you used to get. And it was just an amazing game. It kind of reminded me of like Grand Prix Simulator, but on a larger scale with little toy cars. And you could travel around toilets, or you'd travel around a kitchen table, and everything was big and you were really tiny. And it just had so much fun and gameplay, Glenn. It was absolutely amazing.
Do you know what else was brilliant? The Mega Drive version, on the actual cartridge itself, it had actually extra ports to put extra pads in, so you could play up to four players, I think.
Yeah.
Because it had a cartridge with controller ports on it. It was really, really good.
That's the version I was referring to, because, I mean, I played that non-stop on the Sega Mega Drive. So, yeah, it was Codemasters. It had two little slots on the top, so you could play, like, multiplayer. And at that time, you couldn't really play four players on Mega Drive.
You either had to have an extending port, or the game actually has the port's on, but there's only Micro Machines that I know that has it.
And an interesting fact, there's a character in Micro Machines 2 called Violet.
Now, I was going to mention that.
Well, yeah, you read my mind.
Bad Influence, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I watched something on YouTube the other day, and that, well, the woman Violet from
Bad Influence.
Bad Influence is in the game.
So, yeah, that is my number 5 game, Glenn. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your number 4?
Now, I know you're going to like this one, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played Little Puff?
I have indeed, matey.
Little Puff, that was such a great game for the Commodore 64, and also it came out on the Spectrum and the Amiga as well. Although on the Amiga, I think on the Amiga version, he looked a bit overweight.
Well, I think it was you that said that in your review, actually, or someone else that said that.
Yeah, well, Little Puff was a fantastic game. It's like Dizzy, but with a dragon in. You have to go around, you have to collect items, you have to solve puzzles, and at the end of the game, you have to make this letter up, and you have to give it to the postman at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing about this game is if you die once, that's it. The whole thing has to start all over again. And it's one of the few games on the Commodore 64 actually completed.
Well, you know what, Glenn? It's not a big game. I think once you learn how to do it, you can finish a game in about, 15, 20 minutes? Because it's not a tough game. But the hard thing about the game is, if memory serves me right, is you only get one life.
Yes, you do.
So it is trial and error.
I think there's some trick objects as well. There's a gun you do not use.
Yeah, there's loads of little fake stuff, Glenn.
Yeah, and you have to cross over this river.
Mm-hmm.
And this bird just throws eggs down at you, and if you're not careful...
I almost thought the bird was pooing on you, Glenn.
No, I remember he thrown eggs down at you.
Really? I thought it was poo. Maybe one of our listeners can confirm what the bird was doing. Was the bird dropping eggs on you, or was it dropping crap on you? Let us know.
Either way, I don't want it on me.
Right, so my number 4th game was BMX Freestyle.
Oh, BMX Freestyle. I played the BMX Simulator. If my memory serves right, you did an 8-bit wars on that.
Yeah, no, this is nothing to do with BMX Simulator. This is, to me, felt like a proper BMX game. Now, BMX Simulator, back in the day, again, I bought it because it was BMX, and it said Simulator, and when I got home, all I did was try to go around in a circle and kept on crashing, and I was disappointed with BMX simulators. But with BMX Freestyle, you did loads of different things. You had different events. The only thing I can compare it to, Glenn, is like California Games.
Oh, Games, yeah.
Yeah, you've got about 5 or 6 different levels, Glenn, and you do different events. On one event, the first level, you've got to do a wheelie. So you view it from a side, like a scrolling side, and it's split screen as well. And what you have to try and do in the first level, Glenn, is try and do a wheelie and not make the front wheel touch the ground. And you've got to try and get to the finish line. So you've got to pull back on the joystick and it starts wobbling. And you've got like puddles and little rocks that you've got to go over as well, which makes it really tough, Glenn.
Is it well programmed? Is it very well done?
It's got great music. It looks amazing. The second level, Glenn, if memory serves me right, is like in California Games, you had the skateboarding thing. And this one, you're on the BMX bike and you go up and down the ramp and you've got to do some tricks within a certain time limit. And again, Glenn, it plays fantastic. Another level is where you've got to go as fast as you can on the bike and jump over a number of objects. So for me, it felt like I was on a BMX and it was varied enough for me to actually enjoy it. So, yeah, check it out, BMX, you know, Freestyle. If you get a chance, Glenn, definitely give it a go. Highly recommend it.
Anyway, my next game is Rockstar Ate My Hamster.
Oh, man, you know what? I completely forgot to add that, Glenn. That is amazing.
That game was fantastic. Now, I believe the Rockstar Ate My Hamster, the reason why they got that title, because was it Freddie Starr who declared ate a hamster? In a newspaper once. This game is like making your own band. Mm-hmm. What you do, you're these two geezers, you want to make some money, and what you do, you have to try and get a band together, or a singer together. And what you do, you get the singer together, you train them up, and you get them singing concerts and pubs and stuff, and you make money. And it's a fantastic game, but they have... It was funny how they ripped off real pop stars, isn't it? Like Michael Jackson and other famous pop stars.
But you know what, Glenn? We talked about this in the last podcast, in episode 12. We mentioned that it was done by Colin Jones, and Colin Jones did like an amazing sort of like game here, Glenn, because you actually manage, you know, like a bunch of singers, and it's really well done. It's so easy to get into as well. A lot of these managerial type games are tough to get into, but this was easy enough to ease you along and suck you into it, basically.
And it's not boring either. They put like a comedy into it, isn't it? The boss gets angry and goes, come on, let's get them out.
Now, I've played this game recently, Glenn, and I think it's aged fantastically. I think the graphics look really good, the music's really good, the stories are really good. I always end up losing because I think one of my singers ends up dying or like getting arrested.
Well, I always end up going bankrupt.
Yeah.
Spending too much money on music videos. What do you want? Your music videos? Smoke? Yes. Dinosaurs in the background? Yes. And I have everything. Oops, we've gone bankrupt. Like, oh dear.
All right. So let me quickly tell you what my number three is, Glenn. We've got another simulator. It is ATV Simulator.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. What happens?
I've never heard of this one. Oh, my God, Glenn. You know what? As soon as we get off the podcast, go on YouTube or load a ROM up because it is fantastic. Okay, it's a two-player game. The only thing I can compare it to, Glenn, is Kickstart 2 on the C64.
Oh, I played that. That's quite a tough game, that.
Yeah, so imagine Kickstart 2, but you're in one of those all-terrain vehicles, you know, the four-wheel vehicles, and it's a split screen, the graphics are bigger, you've got a time limit, and you've got to get from the start line to the finish line, and it's all about skill, Glenn. It's a tough game as you navigate your way through certain objects. You've got to jump. Sometimes, like, you're in the, in the snow level, you've got to jump over penguins. It's just got so much variety, Glenn, and the music, I believe, is by David Whittaker, again, is fantastic, Glenn. Absolutely fantastic. And the best thing, Glenn, is it's two players. So it's great competing against each other. The only thing is, though, Glenn, it has got some bits where it's really tough to get past. It can be a bit fiddly, but it's a great game, and I spent hours playing that, Glenn.
Anyway, I don't think you're going to like my number two.
No, don't say it, Glenn.
My number two is Quick Snacks on the Commodore 64. I have to put this one in because it was one of my all-time favourite games.
So why don't you tell us then why you like Quick Snacks on the Commodore 64? Tell us, what is it you actually do in this? Explain it.
Well, what you have to do in this game is you have to go around a maze, you have to collect these fluffies. And you collect these fluffies, you go back to the dungeon, you put the fluffies into the dungeon. But that's not all of it. What you have to do is basically collect all the fluffies with all the baddies coming after you. And there's all sorts of baddies. There's a spider, there's a dragon monster. And if you don't collect all the fluffies in a certain amount of time, this great big wasp or fly comes along. And you can't kill him. You have to avoid the wasp while collecting the fluffies and put them in the dungeon. And the chances are he will get you because he could go through the walls.
You know what, Glenn? I don't like that game. But you know what? On the back of the C64 cover, how does it describe the game?
On the back on it, it says Dizzy and the Fluffies.
Ah, okay, so it's different for
Dizzy and the Famous Fluffies.
Does it show the screenshots?
It says Amstrad Computer Screenshots, because remember I did the video of it. It says on the back in small writing, Amstrad Computer Screen Screenshots. Well, the thing is, it says it's made by the Oliver Twins, but when you start up the game, it doesn't say it's made by the Oliver Twins, it's made by somebody else.
Let me tell you what my number two is, Glenn, and you're going to find this amazing. My number two is Quick Snacks on the ZX Spectrum.
We both have the same mind, but completely different game.
Well, I actually like the good version. Now, if some of our listeners may remember, a few episodes ago, we did a poll, which was, which version of Quick Snacks is better, the C64 or the ZX Spectrum? And guess which version? No, everyone voted for the ZX Spectrum, and you were the only one that voted for the C64. Glenn, honestly, it is the superior game. Now, I'll tell you why it is a superior game. Now, it's got that amazing thing that says Quick Snacks, you know, the intro, and it's got the Yoke Folk playing music as in a band, and it's beautifully animated, And then once they finish playing that, you see like loads of cutscenes that shows you, you know, like what they've been up to, what's happening. And then it shows you the evil wizard Zax appears, and it's got like amazing music. And it shows you how they got kidnapped, and it tells you what your mission. And all this is just before the actual game begins, Glenn. And then the actual game begins, and it kind of plays like Pengo, where you've got to sort of like walk around, push blocks around, squish the enemies. And it's just so damn addictive, but a little bit too easy, Glenn. And it is miles and miles better than the C64 game. What do you think of that then, buddy?
I prefer the Commodore 64 version, right, simply because I grew up on it.
But okay, now, if you were to play the Spectrum version now, and if you hadn't played the C64 version before, and you were to play the C64 version, which one would you say was the better game, Glenn? Really?
You know, I have to say they're both as good as each other, but their own strange ways.
No, Glenn, all right.
That's me.
All right.
I like how they did the band, and I like how they did the cutscenes on the ZX Spectrum version.
And has the C64 got those amazing intros?
No.
No. Has it got the band?
No.
Different music for every levels?
No. But has the ZX Spectrum got fluffies?
The ZX Spectrum doesn't need fluffies.
He hasn't got fluffies. He hasn't got the mallet. He hasn't got the firebomb. And he hasn't got the special next stage at the castle. Right.
Was the C64 version made by the Oliver twins?
No.
Right. So, yeah, number two from Glenn and me was Quick Snacks. But mine is the better version, the Spectrum version.
All right. Well, what's your number one, Andy?
Well, you got to tell me your number one first, matey.
Oh, my number one. My number one is actually Treasure Island Dizzy.
Ah, okay. Why Treasure Island Dizzy as your number one then, Glenn?
What I really love about Treasure Island Dizzy is I love the music as the game begins. And basically, I like how the Oliver twins made it so you're on this desert island, you have to go along and collect your items, and then you have to put a snorkel on to get on the other side of the island. And I just like how the whole game is made, and it's a really fantastic game.
I think I agree with you, Glenn. It's a great game, and a lot of people think this is the best Dizzy game there is. But I think the only thing that lets it down is the one life thing.
They did explain that to you.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it makes it too tough, you know, with the one life, because you could get all the way near the end and you die, and that's it, game over. You know, it's that tough of a game. I know you've got to memorize everything, but I think it's slightly on the difficult side because of that.
You know what's very strange, Andy? I picked two games that only has one life, Little Puff and Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah. All right, so let me tell you what my number one game is, Glenn.
What's your number one game?
Fantasy World Dizzy.
How would I would have guessed that one?
It's amazing how Dizzy just happens to show up on these top five Codemaster games. Now, I like Fantasy World Dizzy because, for a start, I think it's equally as good as Treasure Island Dizzy. But you know what, Glenn? It's got lives, and it's easier. It makes it... And I found the locations more varied. Whereas Treasure Island Dizzy, yeah, fair enough, you're in a deserted island, so you've got, like, the trees and stuff. And Fantasy World Dizzy had more interesting locations, more little in-game jokes. Now, you know, you could get burnt by the dragon, you could steal the dragon's egg, you could push Dozy off the pier.
And the crocodile.
The crocodile, you could tie it. Dizzy could get drunk. It had that amazing illusion when you went underneath and you didn't know where your platforms were. It had the upside down land. It had the beanstalk and up in the clouds.
And don't forget the painting on the ZX Spectrum version of Treasure Island Dizzy.
Did the C64 version have that?
It didn't have it. It just had the little picture. I think because of memory reasons they didn't do it.
I know, Glenn. I was just doing that just to wind you up because you're a C64 owner. But yeah, I think Fantasy World Dizzy, it, to me, is the most perfect Dizzy game there is. So yeah, that is our top five games. So yeah, let's start rounding the show up, Glenn. Let me quickly move to the iTunes, Glenn. Now, we have got 23 iTunes reviews now, mates.
23.
Yeah. Right, so it's a 5-star review, which is done by Dirk Digdugler. And I love this guy's name, Dirk Digdugler, because it's a take on Dirk Diggler.
Oh, if right. If
you haven't ever seen Boogie Nights, you have to see it. It's a great film. But anyway, great name, by the way, matey, Dirk Digdugler. Now, he says, nice to hear a really good UK-based retro gaming podcast. Those smelly Americans do a good show, but they wouldn't know a Speccy or an Atari ST if they hit him between the eyes.
The trouble is about the gaming history between UK and America is it's different because the NES really took off in America, where in this country it was more the 8-bit computers that really took off.
Well, you know what, Glenn? I think that's a little topic that we'll talk about in a future episode, I think, Glenn. Because it's interesting how the Americans and the Britain, completely different games. But anyway, back to that review. He says, if he's got one bone to pick, though, he put, where the hell was Chao Aniki on the best ever Super Nintendo game list? Now, have you heard of Chao Aniki?
Chao Aniki. Oh. Yeah,
now, I've looked at it, Glenn. It seems like a beat-em-up. But it is a bizarre beat-em-up. It's got some bizarre characters, and it's got some muscle guys, like bodybuilders in the background, and little flying creatures. And it is a bizarre Japanese game, Glenn. I looked at it. Now, the reason why we didn't include this on the top list was because neither me or Glenn had played it.
The thing is, everybody, is there's millions and millions of games out there, and it's not possible for me and Andy to actually play them all.
Well, I think it is. That's my mission in life now, to play every single game that was ever made. Right, so yeah, guys, thank you very much for the iTunes reviews. We've got 23 now. You know what I would like, Glenn? I would like 30 iTunes reviews before August. That is the plan.
So how many have we got now, Andy?
We got 23, and I'd like 30 before August. Now, Glenn, can you remind everyone why we need iTunes reviews?
The reason why we need iTunes reviews is because the more people listen to the podcast, the more iTunes reviews we get, the more people we get to the community, and the better the podcast will be.
Exactly, matey, exactly. Now, so yeah, any thanks or anything you'd like to say to anyone, matey?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for their support and listening and listen to the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who contribute towards the podcast, and I'd like to thank Retro Resistance for their podcast. You know, I listened to their podcast recently, and I do enjoy it. I do like listening to your podcast, Tony and Elk.
Right, so I'd like to say thank you to everyone that listens to our show. I'd like to say a big thanks to you. I'd like to say a big thanks to Swainy. I'd like to say thanks to the Things Like That podcast and everyone on iTunes and on the forum. So, guys, keep on listening, and we'll see you next week with episode 13 and a half, and it will be slightly different than the last half podcast.
Right, take care, everybody, and we will see you next time. Goodbye. Goodbye. Andy?
Hello, mate. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Good stuff, mate. Did you get my picture on the iPhone about, like, my last few bit of floorboards I need to put on?